Blog Talk Radio.
This program contains graphic material, including offensive language. Viewer discretion is advised.
Basically, the 1% of the motorcycle community who operates outside the law.
Their total focus is on hatred for the enemy. They have a policy of shoot or kill on sight if they can.
It's bullshit. Law enforcement just tries to paint this picture to the media to just cover up their bullshit, cover up their lies, and I just like to say fuck them. That's straight from Mike P.
Jump on your bike, let's hit the road.
Come on.
Fuck the 5-0, man, we out of control.
Hey.
A bad motherfucker, riding through the night. A 50 motherfucker and I love to fight. Picture me.
What did that man say, Bill?
I think the man said, let me think, it was fudge. Don't know. It was fuck him. I remember now. Fuck him. Bill, how's your week going?
Well, you know, I'm a handful, but at least I give a fuck, Bill. But once I lose my fucks about anybody, I'm a cold-hearted person.
You know, you have a dark side to you. You know that? There is a dark side to you. And speaking of dark sides, I want to start this off with... Anything you want to talk about first?
Go for it.
I'll talk a bit about the dark side. The past 30 days, two different members, two different chapters of the Red and White have each lost a person. The R Side chapter and then the Purdue chapter both lost somebody. Every time there's a biker anywhere, it's kind of sad. Anybody from any club that wants to call and let us know, we will identify the club and the name of everybody. I didn't get a chance to talk to our side or Purdue, so I won't mention their names. But the Booze Fighters, which are pretty much worldwide also, they're going to have their, excuse me, Bumper Memorial. Bumper's a pretty stand-up guy. I've known him for a long time. He passed away. So they're going to have a memorial for the guy. They're going to have a blackjack run. And, of course, bikers' rights will be discussed at this event. You know, I hear that more and more and more and more. Bikers' rights will be discussed. Yeah. We'll see how much bikers' rights get discussed. Now, also, I must tell you, this kind of ties in a little bit. Here in San Diego, the Booze Fighters are going to have a bike night at the American Legion, City of Vista. Now, this ties into what I'm going to talk about next, because at the same address, which is American Legion Post 365, 1234, South Santa Fe Drive, Vista, a member of the Metric Bike Club, Street Royals, and I really hope I did not get that wrong, their president died on his motorcycle. Now, Street Royals are a Metric Bike Club, but the reason we're acknowledging this is because the club did lose a president. We, the motorcycle world, lost another person. The chain gets one link shorter. The information that was passed down to us was that this member, president of the club, was riding up to the mountains because he also was a California firefighter. And he was going to help put the fires out. We had like five fires in our area. So while riding up to the mountains, while riding up to the mountains and all that, a truck and trailer went off the side and took him out. So even though Philip and I ride Harley-Davidsons, I assure you, every motorcycle club, be it English, metric, any combination, anything, that's lost a member, and especially an officer like that, we will be there to acknowledge that. Now, that's going to be for anybody in our local area this Sunday from 3 to 7, and again at the American Legion Post. We're going to kind of all, I don't know, maybe give each other a hug and remind ourselves how short life is. On any day, Philip and I could go down the road and could take one of us, could take both of us.
Mm-hmm.
We don't know for sure with that. So we truly are sorry about that now. Now, I want to...
Well, the reason you said you were getting kind of choked up, Bill, is that picture I showed you, Caitlyn Jenner's photo shoot didn't go well. We just got a greeting from Santiago.
Santiago, Chile?
That's correct.
Oh. Well, to our friends down there in Chile. Thank you, gentlemen, for taking the time to say hello to us. Now, we do have something else I want to talk about. And this gets a little confusing, so I'm going to try to cut through it. There's going to be Remembrance Ride. It's going to start on Camp Pendleton, which we don't get to do too much. They don't let us on Camp Pendleton.
Well, for that one, Bill, basically all you have to have is current registration, driver's license, and insurance.
Yeah.
You tell them where you're going,
right,
and they'll tell you how to get there. But basically, it's past the old hospital. So we go down the hill, that first right at the light, followed around, you'll see a nice statue out in front of it that they put up. Remember that statue they put up? I showed you pictures.
Yes.
That's right where it is.
Well, this event is going to be open. However, Camp Pendleton has to do many military bases. They have a list of motorcycle clubs that cannot come onto the base. So if you're thinking you're in a motorcycle club and you wonder, are you on the list? If you even think about it, you probably are on the list.
Mm-hmm.
So this event is going to be put on by the Hellhounds Motorcycle Club. And I did some checking on them, Phil. They're really just a... it's a bunch of Marines on base,
mm-hmm.
and they're not really a motorcycle club. Well, let's see, they say they are a motorcycle club. A bunch of just the military getting want to have a good time. They want to raise some money, and they want to give some money to the Wounded Warrior Battalion West, and they're going to have a separate bike wash with a bunch of the Hooter girls. Now, that money they make, they're going to give for the... Phil, you're a Marine. What's the big dance thing they do every year? The ball?
Marine Corps ball.
Marine Corps ball. Thank you very much, Stan. See, we Army weren't clever enough to have things like that. We just went to the bar and got drunk. But
to interrupt you real quick, but today they had the Marines in the Make-A-Wish Foundation. Mm-hmm. Gave 15-year-old James Gallant the chance to spend a day as a United States Marine. He wore the uniform. He worked at explosive ordnance technicians and even completed a mission in explosive ordnance disposal.
Can you find out which one he is? He's
right there.
Oh, yeah. He looks pretty old.
Young kid. Yeah, I'm gonna pull him. Yeah,
he looks
close to that right now. But
that's kind of class.
That's classy, right there.
Of course, as a draftee, I certainly wouldn't have done anything like that. But that's just my lifestyle. So while we're talking again here, I want to talk about this. We start at the Wounded Warriors Battalion again on Camp Pendleton there. If you belong,
not to be confused with the Wounded Warrior Project, the Crooks.
Apples and oranges. So if you think you're in this San Diego area and you want to go on this bike ride, if you belong to a club and you think it's questionable, the answer probably is it is questionable. So don't bother and go. However, if you think this is a good event, and it is a good event, you can meet us at the Hooters.
Mm-hmm.
Hooters is a little restaurant. Girls, beautiful girls, they have not really sexy. I mean, they have short shorts. And a sexy top, right?
Mm-hmm.
But nothing scandalous about that. So if you think your club may be questionable, blow it off. Don't waste your time. Come on down here to Hooters in Oceanside, 3186 Vista Way, number 100, Oceanside, California. This is going to be put on in conjunction, like I said, with the Young Marines who are trying to raise money for the Wounded Warrior Battalion, and they're going to have a separate event for the bike wash. Now, only the bike wash is different money. That money will go for the Marine Corps ball. So that's a win-win situation. I've done some research on this one, and Phil, this is all coming up roses. I got no complaints on that at all. So to you, let me give you some information. And Steven came in and talked to me. This guy's pretty stand-up. If you want to email Steven, it's small, Steven dot Whitaker. WHITTAKER at USMC.mil, MIL. So that's pretty good about that. We don't get to get on Camp Pendleton often. They're not really crazy, but I don't know why. Ain't no terrorists look like us. Ain't no terrorists riding Harley Davidson. You'd think you want the damn Harleys out there running around and all that. So I've been getting some information about some other people that have been, unfortunately, losing their lives, some of the young guys due to dangerous driving, and to some of the old guys my age due to cancer. I've said this before, Philip and I would be willing to share information from any bike club. Please do not put us in a niche and say this is who they are, because you have no idea who Philip and I are.
Exactly. And, you know, and people do that anyway, Bill.
Oh, they do it my whole life, yeah. Any club that wants to contact us and wants to share information, or even, you know what, we haven't anybody ever contacted us for some different music, and if we have some interesting music we like, I'd be glad to put that on there somewhere. So being depressed again this time, we have got two things. Young guys riding the bikes too fast. And the second thing, us old guys dying of cancer. And we are dying of cancer, left and right. There's no getting around that. So what I'd like to do today right now is to invite all of the motorcycle riders who are veterans. Please go down to your VFW or go down to your American Legion rider, American Legion Post, excuse me. Every city's got one. Every state's got them.
Mm-hmm.
Join the American Legion Post or the VFW. Two reasons. Number one, people like Phil and I are getting old. We have to have replacements. Now, when you and I joined, we were young and, you know, we were indestructible. The younger guys have not been following us our lead into that.
No. As a matter of fact, Bill, here's one thing I was going to tell you. You know, the older we get, the more we realize that no one has a fucking clue what they're doing. Everyone's just winging it.
Yeah, it's sad, but it's pretty accurate.
That's pretty accurate right there, buddy.
Now, what I want to point out is, well, why am I giving a commercial for VFW and American Legion? I'm going to tell you, you get together in the park with your club. The police have a right to drive right into the park, inspect the motorcycles, and tell you the music's too loud and blah, 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 blah. Now, let's talk about if you have an event at the American Legion, for the VFW, you are now in a private building. To get in, they must have a search warrant. You cannot just walk right in. So not that I'm saying anything's illegal at our events. I'm sure they're not. But every time we do an event out in the city parks, the police are right there. And let's not forget the helicopters overhead.
A couple of drones here and there.
It's getting, and then everybody's getting checked for loud pipes, et cetera, et cetera. So I'm encouraging all the people to join your American Legion post or your VFW post, and once you get in, start putting events on inside the post. All the posts I know and the VFW halls, they have a large parking lot, so a lot of people get in there. Now, Phil and I...
I want to say one thing, Bill, that anybody that's in the chat room, we're doing a little update on the news and everything. And our commentaries, and then we're going to be joined by other guests. So if you're in the chat room and you called in to talk about Christopher and Ben in the movie, just hold on. We're waiting for Christopher and Ben to call in.
So you can speak to them directly.
So we can speak to them directly, and then we'll bring everybody in. So I got a caller, a 909.
519.
Let's find out who it is, and then we'll put them, back on hold while we're waiting.
Okay, 909-519. Tell us who you are, where you're calling from.
909, you're on.
Hello?
You want to tell us who you are? Where are you calling from, please?
Highland, California. This is Christopher Baiza. I'm the director of Hijos de Zuputa, the biker story.
Okay, Chris. Mm-hmm. Hey, we had someone call from a 305 area code, and they hung up. But let Bill, like I told you in the message, let Bill and I finish, and then I'll bring you on. Is that okay?
That sounds good.
Dude, I'm going to wrap it up relatively quick. Okay, now one last time again. We're talking about all these deaths going on here, especially here in our area, California. The importance of joining the American Legion, the VFW Hall, is because if you stop by an American Legion or a VFW, it's full of old people. I look in the mirror, they all look like me. Old people. As we get older, we have to have our replacements. We cannot let the VFWs and American Legion Halls come to an end. If you're a motorcycle club and you have veterans inside, you have access to use the American Legion post, and you have access to the VFW post. You can put your events on inside. If it rains, you're good to go. If it's too sunny, you're good to go. Everybody inside's got room for music, food, and the most important thing of all, again, the police cannot come in the front door without a warrant. Again, one more time, I'm not implying anything illegal is going on, but when we get together at a park, They stop us coming in. They stop us going out. We have helicopters overhead.
Hey, I got pulled over and wanted to know if I bought a new jacket, Bill.
Oh, man, I heard that story. Man, yeah. Phil, honestly, the guy, well, you know what? Where'd you get that money for that jacket, Phil?
Yeah, exactly. Huh?
You got a... Did you get something from your company or something saying how much money you made or something? Where did the money go?
No, I got it.
How come you have a brand new jacket? Where'd you get that money from, Phil?
I know.
All right, well, you tell me that you saved your tin cans and all that. I'll believe you, brother. You're an honest man. So, last time I'm going to mention like that, anybody listen to me that knows veterans, and especially bikers, step into your local American Legion post. Step into your VFW. Come down for a meeting. We utilize them every chance we get for meetings and all that because it gives us a little bit of security. It gives us a little bit of privacy. And, you know, if it's, I'm not saying we're all, saints. I'm saying that we have fun.
Yeah.
But we're not hurting anybody. We're taking care of ourselves.
Exactly.
So I'm going to wrap it up tonight. But on last note, any other club that wants to contact me or Phil and ask us to acknowledge their members that have passed away, please do. I absolutely welcome all motorcycle clubs. And I have to repeat one more time this again. I know what you think I'm seeing now. Please not put Phil and I into a little corner saying, well, they only do this, they only do that. Why don't you open up your ears and listen to what I say? Any motorcycle, metric European American motorcycle organization. Hell, I swear to God, if a scooter club called me in here, if a scooter club would call me in, I'd put them on the air here too. Anybody to do with motorcycles is happy with me. So stop tying me to just Harley-Davidson's. Phil and I only ride Harley-Davidson. It's my choice. If the person calling me in is on a metric bike or an English motorcycle, believe me, I've got great respect for them. It doesn't mean that I think I'm better because I have a Harley.
Most people don't get the concept that we don't care what you ride.
That's right.
As long as you ride.
Because I swear to God, I met assholes on Harley-Davidson's. It doesn't mean anything at all. There's good people out there. Take time to find them. Don't limit yourself. Now, you and I are at the bars a lot, and we got to hear, oh, this bike is best. My Ninja can beat your Hayabusa. That's all bar talk shit. Find good people. Do something to make your community a little bit better. Okay, I'm going to cut this a little short tonight because I don't want to get on a tirade, which I certainly can, because we got some interesting guests today. We have some gentlemen, one or two gentlemen coming in to stand, and they... You have an interesting concept.
Yeah, this is Christopher, and bring Christopher in right now. Hello, Chris, how are you?
Hi, how you doing?
Good. Good.
I'm Bill Kennedy, and right next to me is Phil. We welcome to the show, and you're doing something a little different, something a little unique. We'd like you to tell us what's going on.
Hey, Bill and Phil. My name is Christopher Bizep. I am the director of this biker film, contemporary film called Hijos de su Puta, in translation is Sons of Bitches. And, you know, it's a biker story. It was a stage piece that turned into a short film and later developed into a full feature. And it's become very huge right now. We have a great buzz going. And we have a wonderful cast. Anthony L. Fernandez, Julian Cisneros, who else we have?
Kerry Mark. Luke Pizarro,
yeah.
Others.
Scott and Grody. And the list goes on. And, you know, it's grown so much. And my producer, Ben Munoz, has been really pushing it marketing-wise across the board. So, we wanted to come out here and really promote it and push it amongst the biker community.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Chris, you got some in the background with you. I hear another voice. Can you tell us who's back there? Tell us, identify
That's
yourself,
Ben.
Who you are.
That's Ben. Yeah.
Hey, Ben.
Bill and Bill.
Glad
he
came on the
Bill.
Show.
Thank you guys so much for
out there. Anything that helps the motorcycle community is interesting. Now, let me ask you something personally, you two. You know, that's not exactly an easy thing you're doing. There could have been a lot easier way to make money. What made you two want to take this task on upon yourselves?
Oh, my goodness, Phil and Bill. It started off.
That's bad.
I have a radio interview right now. Kerry Mark, that's one of the actors at the board.
Ben, how you doing, man?
Hold on one second, guys. 305, you're live. Can
yes,
you
sir, 305.
Yeah, can you hold on one second? Let Ben finish what he was saying, and then we'll bring
you
on.
If you guys got any questions, get involved, sir, okay?
Yeah. Phil, let's let Terry introduce himself because he's actually at work and calling in. He is one of the principal actors in our film, so I'll pass it on to him real quick, and we'll go back to addressing my role in what you asked.
Okay, Phil, what number are you looking at here?
305.
Okay, 305-790. Tell us who you are again. Where are you calling from, please?
I'm calling from Hollywood, California.
Okay. And your name, please?
Carrie Mark.
Okay. Carrie, tell us a little bit of what's going on. Again, the question I asked a few minutes ago was, this is quite a big undertaking you're doing. Certainly there are easier things you could have done. What made you guys get involved in trying to take such a giant task on?
We had a meeting last week with the director, Christopher Baeza, and I did watch the reel that he shot, because he shot a trailer from the first five acts of the film, and just the cinematography, the direction, and just like the whole feel of the movie was pretty cool. That's the reason I got involved. I got involved in that, and I think the film has a lot of potential, you know, based on the cast that we have, the director, all the resources that we're putting together. I think it's going to be a great film, and it's going to make a mark out there.
Okay, without telling the plot away and all that, so can you give us a little bit idea of the concept of the movie? Any one of you gentlemen, please.
Yes. Christopher, do you want to talk about the plot? Because I know it's your story and you're the writer and everything.
The plot basically is about a young biker leader named DJ. And he runs a biker club off of Los Angeles. It's a Mexican outlaw biker club. And in the midst of all that, he deals with, he has a very successful drug business in Los Angeles through Mexico. And there is a power struggle between himself and the VP. And not only a struggle within power, but also a struggle within a father-like figure. You know, the VP has been a father-like figure to DJ for so long, and there's that resentment of being a father and also being a VP and just having a struggle with
writing the coattails.
Yeah, just trying to, you know, just trying to be a leader and just trying to take the club a different path financially. And having the VP, you know, having a lot of resentment and wanting to take the president position, and also dealing with rival clubs within the area, also has to deal a lot with territorial control, you know.
Yes.
Yeah. So.
Beautiful women come in there somehow and cause havoc.
Yes, it does cause havoc.
Yes.
Yeah, it does. Yes.
At 40 years in the motorcycle club world, the drama always comes from the women. I know people are going to complain about that, but I don't know. I've got too many years of seeing that. It just happens, I guess.
Authority.
Those are brothers until a woman comes along somewhere, but okay.
Yeah.
Again, Phil and Bill, this is the producer, Ben Munoz, will be playing the CEO, which is... in English, the uncle of DJ, which is directed by Christopher Baeza and the lead actor in this. But what it transpires in this is really a reality of in the biker community of what, you know, what's to come and what has happened and so forth. And when I seen the trailer, it's so funny, like Christopher said, how it all transpired. It was actually a screenplay, then it went to a short, and then he reached out to me as one of the actors, and I was honored, of course, to take part of it. And then before I know it, I'm producing this and bringing some, you know, major players to the board of this project, and man, it's just blown up. I mean, like you said, we got Lou Pizarro, Anthony Fernandez, of course, Carrie Mark, Scott Ingrati, and Julian Cesario's just came aboard today. You know, he's been a major player out in Hollywood, done some big things, Sons of Anarchy and stuff. So we're getting some great, great feedback from other actors. My goal is to enhance what they have already established as great actors to bring them to a next level. And that's my goal as a producer, as well as other things that we're doing right now. But I'm going to pass this back on to Christopher so he can give you any more insight on the project as we move forward on that. And we really need the support of the biker community to come aboard and jump on and donate to our fund project that we have going on right now.
Well, you know what, let's stop there for 1 second, because let's make several announcements during the course of this. If people are interested in this one and they think they will want to kick a little something in there, send a check or something off, how can they do that, sir? We only do this about 2 or 3 times. I've got these
mm-hmm.
people here.
Exactly.
So please tell us how they can contact you, how they can kick a few bucks your way, Visa, MasterCard, checks. What can you accept?
And the same thing that goes along with that is, if you guys send me all the information, I'll put it on the daily blog that we have, because it gets 80,000 to 90,000 hits per day.
We'll hit that up there so they can see that. But will you tell us again how they can get in contact with you and how they can send some money your way?
First of all, I'd like to mention Raider Taz it has been a great, great performer in this piece, and also Joe Santana. And the way people can contribute is to go on www.seedandspark.com, type in on search Hijos de su Puta or Christopher Baiza as a director, and that will lead you directly to our contribution account. And my last name is capital B A I Z as in zebra A, Christopher Baiza. And once you put me on the search, yeah.
And if anybody's looking for me, he's also on my page, Ben. And a few others, Raider Taz and I have been friends for a while now. And he's a stand-up. So if you guys know Raider and he knows you, you guys are stand-up guys too.
Okay. So 2 or 3 times during this, I want to bring it up again. But now you're going to have to show here. You're going to put that information up so everybody can see it, right? See, this show, besides going to East Coast and other countries, not everybody's listening to the show at this exact moment. It's going to be grandfathered because it's 8 hours later and all that. So long after you're in bed, people in Europe, for example, might be waking up to hearing the show. They're saying, oh, hey, what's this all about here? We're always getting notices about what happened like 8 hours afterwards, but it's the nature of our business, guys.
You know what's crazy is that in Europe, when I first started my campaign on Kickstarter, there's this place called Aachen, Germany, that funded my 5-app. And there's a huge – I want to give a big shout-out to Germany. Germany gave me the resources. I mean, they gave me the contributions and the financial support and the moral support to film the 5-Act. If it wasn't for Germany, this little town called Aachen, the trailer wouldn't have been created if it weren't for them.
You know, I got to ask you, because I've driven my bike through Germany many times. Give me another or bigger city Aachen is near, please.
Black Forest.
Black Forest, sir. Sure, I've been through it many times with that. Okay.
Yeah. So,
I'm going to ask you now. Let me get back to the film a little bit here, for example. Is this basically going to be like a Los Angeles program? Is this going to be like any influence with this Northern California, Southern California problems going on? Are you not going to get into that? Are you going to talk about getting into Mexico at all? Or give us a little bit about the history of how this is going to be, or the geography, if you would.
Yeah, this. I mean, you know, these guys have been centered in L.A., you know, but the story's going to take place probably away from L.A., maybe a little farther east towards the Riverside area. Yeah, in the Empire. You know. And there's going to be some sort of correlation with Mexico, and, you know, we have a great actor from Poland, and we're going to kind of combine it with that whole European culture later down the line, and that's in development right now. So, there's going to be some connections with Mexico and a little bit of L.A., you know, but the story's going to go a little farther from L.A., I think. Yeah, and we're actually in the talks with Flockies. Flockies, her real name is Johaira Garcia. She's from In the Watch. Her name's Lala. And we're in talks with her publicist to get her on board right now as we speak. She's a great actress, and she'll contribute so much as a character to the film. And her character is going to be a DJ's right-hand girl. You know, she's going to be the strong-arm girl, you know, the girlfriend of DJ. You know, every biker needs a doll, you know, they need a strong girl, and she's going to play that part, you know, and she's going to do it. Yeah, if Flocky, if you're listening, you know, this is reaching out to you. You know, we really want you for this part. So we talked to your manager, you know, hopefully you're on board. But again, yeah, so that's pretty much the basic, you know, storyline and areas and geography where we're going to be filming and all that. So thank you. Yeah, thank you, Lou Pizarro, for coming on board too. Wow. Yeah, everybody. Anthony, all you guys, you know, Julian, everyone. Yeah.
You know, I want to point something out to you guys. It may fit in your program, may not. The end of next month in Tijuana, every motorcycle club in Mexico will be meeting, and several Americans coming across. If you guys want to, for whatever reason, not to film or anything, but to come down into Tijuana and see or meet with all the Mexican bike clubs coming together from one area, Philip and I will be in Tijuana. Is it the 30th, Philip? I don't remember the date. August 30th. You can check with Philip on that if you want to take a ride down, cross the border. I'll even have, if you want, I'll have people meeting you at the border, escort you in, escort you out.
Oh.
And just see what every Mexican bike club in Mexico looks like.
As well as the party at your place on the 31st.
Yeah, we're partying at my shop, but that's not, you know, you're welcome to come down for that too if you like custom cycles. But if one of you two, you guys want to come down just to maybe feel the ambiance of what Mexico's like with all the Mexican bike clubs. Philip and I will be going in as we go in every year to meet with all the clubs. We'd like to invite you for that.
Thank you both so much, because I do have a place in Rosarito, a trailer out there, close to where they filmed the Titanic. So I think that is on our agenda to do that. Thank you so much for connecting us with the people and resources. Phil, thank you so much for opening the door and replying to my message on Facebook, social media. A big shout out to you, Phil and Bill, and all the bikers of America all around the world. Thank you guys, and any support that you can give, any donation would be much appreciated, because if you look at the trailer and the people, the actors that we have aboard, the cast and crew, it's gotten crazy, and I love it, you know. Thank you, Scotty Grotti, you know, Carrie Mark, Gus Gonzalez from Basalia. There's so many. Lou Pizarro, thank you so much for coming aboard. Done without Lou's insight and what he has to bring to the table. Let me mention to you, comedian Gilbert Escavel also signed up for a role in this, and I'm so honored because I love this man to death. If you guys ever get him on the radio, this guy is...
Oh, we got him on. He's a stand-up guy.
Yes. Gilbert, man, what a great guy and a privilege, because he is actually going to put a twist on this whole project. As you know, he's a comedian, and just be prepared for what he's going to deliver in his scenes. It's just amazing what Christopher has envisioned and written down for each individual as a character role. And that is so important, that they fill their position as a character as who they are.
And I like the diversity of the character film interesting. If everybody's like monotone, if everybody's like the same wave, that's not interesting to me. But if you have different characters, different people coming in with different personalities, that's how I think a film comes together. I do want to, 1 second, if you decide to come into Tijuana, the motorcycle club that's hosting this event is the Solo Angels out of Tijuana. They are the mother chapter. They will be hosting all bike clubs. So if you want to come down, get back to Phil. We can talk about that later if you'd like. We'll probably be in and out by midnight, because I have an event at my shop where we have a bike blessing. We have a down biker fund, so I'm going to be at my shop in Oceanside.
And maybe if they got any flyers and posters and stuff. We could set them up with a booth.
Oh, there we go. I'd be glad to do that, yeah.
Yeah.
So think about all that stuff. We don't want you to get too much stuff. Philip and I are all over everywhere doing stuff. And Mexico certainly is our background.
I will contact Phil and Bill, and we'll set up. And that's such a great idea. Thank you, Bill and Phil, for inviting us to talk on your radio show. Such a blessing, man. Thank you so much.
Yeah, Phil and Bill, thank you so much, man. I appreciate you for having us on the show. I have to get off the phone, but I look forward to getting on the show again. And Chris and Ben, I'll see you guys on set.
Sounds good, brother.
Take it easy, man. Thank you so much.
Before you guys go, throw the link out there again, please.
One more time. Give us the link. How to reach you.
Yeah. Go to www.seedandspark.com. Type in on the search, Hijos de su puta, or my name, Christopher Baiza, Christopher, and then my last name is B as in boy, A I, Z as in zebra, A. No matter what the dollar amount, just make a contribution. Help us out.
Did you get all that, Phil?
Yeah.
All right, guys, listen, we appreciate you taking the time, and we're going to keep in touch on this here. And
thank you so much. Also,
Bill, they could pop in every once in a while and give us an update.
That's
why
I said intermittently, whenever you feel like adding something to the program here.
Yeah.
You don't need to make appointments or anything. We'll fit you in our schedule.
All
right?
Perfect. Thank you so much. Thank you so much.
Thank you for taking the time. It's another part of the American dream. Here we got some people, and definitely an independent film here, that's saying, hey, we're going to do something. The odds of them making it are so uphill.
Mm-hmm.
But the fact is they're trying. The fact is they think they can do it. And the energy I'm hearing from these men here, I think these guys are going to make a hell of a go out
of
it.
Well, you know, their audience tonight, Bill, we've got Russia, Germany, Canada, United Kingdom, Denmark, France, Australia, Belgium, and Brazil. That's just a few of the places. New Zealand, Sweden, the Ukraine, France.
Wow, thank you. Thank you guys so much.
Thank you so much.
Okay.
Thank you so much. You guys have a great night.
You too. And they're leaving our note. Gentlemen, thank you for what you're doing again, because the American dream is to take something that you see that nobody else is doing and doing something with it. And the fact that in this case here with Ben and Chris are putting a program together, they're giving these actors, Carrie and these other people, a chance to do something. That's fascinating. Who knows where the actors are? Who knows where Ben and Chris are going to go?
Mm-hmm.
But the fact is these men are not afraid to take a chance, and that's what's wrong with America. We have too many people that they're afraid to stand up and do something. Hats off to Ben and Chris. Bill,
I want to tell you, you know, thanks to Raider Taz for his service as a Navy personnel and myself. Like I said, Phil, hoorah, Semper Fi, brother. You know,
no worries.
I'm very patriotic. Let's shine on that red, white, and blue, and that is what we want to do in this film, so to speak. I served in the Marine Corps from 80 to 86. I'm very patriotic, and I love you guys, you know, for what you're doing and standing up for our country. Thank you so much. It means a lot to me.
You're welcome.
Absolutely. Thank you for taking the time to come tonight, guys.
The only thing, Bill, is you got to get Army buddies to call.
I know, he didn't mention the Army at all, for Christ's sake. If I could have found the plug, I'd have pulled the plug on his ass. Marine Corps. I feel like an Army of One. Army of One.
I'm an Army of One. Yeah, that's basically it, 1%.
That's it, I'm all by myself. Oh,
yeah.
Thank you both so much.
Guys, thank you again. Thank you again. You guys have a great night. Thank you. Bye.
Thank you.
Chris, I sent you the phone numbers in a message.
Okay. Thank you guys so much for allowing us to be a part of your radio show.
All right. You're welcome. Come back often.
Yeah, Bill, thanks again, man. I appreciate it. Bye.
Welcome, guys.
All right.
Okay.
You know, I'm hoping they might be able to some knowledge of the vets coming back or something in their movie somehow tied up. Not a whole thing, but, you know, remind everybody that the vets are coming back in the... We forgot to ask him. What?
Huh?
What did we forget? Did we ask him for the links? They're already gone now.
No, we forgot to ask him if they had a part for two old white guys on China.
Oh, Phil, I'm sorry. We didn't discuss that.
Yes, we do. Yes, we do.
They're asking me to get involved. They want you to be the grandfather.
Is that what it is? Okay.
Yeah, you're going to be the grandfather.
All right. Hey, I think we're going to have to pull a rocking chair on set, yeah?
Yeah, Phil.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, it's all about attitude. We got plenty of it, boys. Besides that, be nice to us. Not only will we get you into Mexico, Phil and I will get you back to America. So be nice to us.
Oh.
Somebody can get into Mexico.
Thank you so much for the support to get us back home.
It's important. No worries. No man left behind. There you go.
No man left behind. Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. You know, Phil, I'm going to stay in touch with you on social media and through Instant Messenger. I think we'll discuss some things.
Okay.
Okay, thank you guys so much, and we're still listening, so carry on and have a wonderful day. And again, thank you so much for your support and allowing us to participate in
this
show.
Thank you for having the Wavos to go out and do something other people aren't doing. Thank you for hiring people to act up here. A lot of people just would have said it's too much work.
You know, because they always tell Billy he's got the perfect face for radio.
I mean, ain't that a bullshit story? Telling me I got the perfect face. You know what? That's sad. That's sad.
Yeah, it is. It's a bullshit story.
Yeah.
You know,
actually, when I've done some television during the commercial breaks, you have no idea. I have a receding hairline, a very slight receding hairline. They have to put so much pancake makeup on the top of my head because the lights bounce off my bald head. Hey, it's the way life is. Deal with it. Well, like radio. I don't need no makeup.
Is that where the saying is for the title of the story of the film, Hijos de su puta, comes in?
Sure.
Yeah.
He's still trying to... Phil and Bill are still trying to wrap their head around the title of the story.
Well, you know, I was talking to a couple of guys at work today, and I said that, and they're like, really? Who's calling you guys motherfuckers?
That's what I thought it was, too. With my limited Espanol, I said, motherfuckers, what's this all about here?
Yeah, but you got to understand, it's a Spanish, it's sons of bitches, it's plural. So, you know, it gives it that
Yeah,
Spanish.
No, you know, I worked with a very diverse group, and like Bill said, sometimes I'm an acquired taste. So these guys know when I come and ask them a question or I say something, they try to analyze and see where I'm coming from.
If you come down to the party in Tijuana, the Solo Angels Clubhouse, you go inside and they like to mess with everybody. They say, how good is your eyesight? Oh, it's very good. They say, well, look at the pictures on the wall. Do you see a Waito in there?
A Waito.
Son of a bitch, where's that white guy come from? That's Bill Kennedy. He's been here for 30 years. He comes and goes in Mexico, but I'm 6 foot tall, I'm as wide as white can be, and I really stand out in the group pictures, I guarantee you that. We'll show you guys get down there. Anyway, again, thank you guys for taking the time to come in.
Hey, Bill,
please
ponder this, because I think I got a little leverage on who is going to partake in the film, but between you and I, you know, the three of us, Phil and Bill, I would love to have you guys on the show.
That'd be fun. We always look for new adventures and all that. That's fun for us.
Mm-hmm.
Can you handle the Latino market?
Can you handle spending a Tijuana night with me? With every major motorcycle?
Yeah. The director.
Close to me. I'll get you back to America.
Okay. As long as you give us safe travels, we're good. Don't give us this political shit that I promise, like the current person that is in office right now, that is just destroying our country.
Legacy is going to be something of disgust. He gives Iraq, even that nuclear power shit. We're hurting our own grandchildren. And while I'm at it very quickly, every goddamn company, listen to me now, every American company doing business with Communist China.
Yeah, be careful. That's how we got thrown off the radio.
Yeah, well, you know what I'm saying right now. Every American company doing business with Communist China, it's not you, it's not your children, but your grandchildren are going to suffer. We're putting all money, everything in China. What about America? What about Americans having jobs? We've got to stop giving away industry. I don't care how cheap it is to make shit in China. It's out in Chinese. We need to put Americans to work. Ford, Chevy, every American car company that's doing business in China, you should be arrested, thrown in jail. You should have your nuts kicked in. Disgusting.
We should be doing business within America, selling American products. Screw all this political bullshit, and let's make a stand against the people that are supposedly representing us and only doing it for their own fucking political gain.
I'm open-minded about world business, but we cannot do business with any communist country. One of the basic tenets of communism is the control and abolish of all religions. Now, I'm not so much religious as I am more spiritual, but I'll be damned if I'm going to have somebody tell me who I can and can't pray to. And I'll be damned if I'm going to have somebody tell me who I can listen to my wife. No Chinese, no Vietnam, no North Korea, no Cuba. Although Cuba's going to be pretty American pretty damn quick, to be democratic. Democratic countries doing business. Communist countries, we should not be sending a nickel over there. Oh, shit, I got off on the air. Sorry, guys.
Every now and then I get a little touchy about that. We're on the same page, and we are very patriotic. Just so you know, we need all the patriots to support this American film.
Yeah.
And we do have Latinos in it. We do have Caucasians. This is
an American film. It's not just about Mexico. It's not about, like, anything else. This is an American film here, okay? So I just want everybody that's a motorcycle enthusiast to support us and, you know, just back us on this film. This is an American film. It's a creation. No one else is creating anything. I started from nothing, creating this film, and it's blown up to where it is now. So I just want everybody to know.
I'm not going to be a name dropper here, Bill, but, you know, if you talk to Raider Tatis and you mention my name, he'll tell you about me. If you talk to Emilio, he'll tell you the same thing. I'm real tight with those guys. And
Right. And you know, Raider Tatis. Oh, Christopher says he's had you on set. Oh, Raider Tatis. Yeah, Raider Tatis has been on set on this project as well. But you did interview me a while back for A Father's Journey. I was the Ramon in A Father's Journey with Lou Pizarro.
I tagged David, but he's deep in something right now. Otherwise, he would have called in. But he's going to catch it on the archive.
Yeah, right on. Okay, thank you guys.
You're not supposed to go up to Espinosa Leathers pretty soon, aren't we?
Yes.
I'm sorry, just to change the subject for a second there, yeah. Good friends of ours up there. All right, good. Go ahead, you got the air.
No, go ahead. What was that?
Oh, I was just reminding Philip that we have some friends up there, Espinosa's Leathers, and we're supposed to be going up there, and I forgot that on my notes there. One of the weekends I'm supposed to ride by. Just those thoughts I had that popped in my head, that's all.
Okay.
So I don't have an itinerary. I speak for 2 hours, and every now and then it just pops back into my head.
What I'd like you guys to do, if you want to hang around for a little bit, we're going to call this girl who lost a bet, and she had to wear a Patriot shirt to work today. And then she received a note. So we'll call her about that note. What do you think, Bill?
I told you, you live in a dark place. You live in a dark place. You stay in a dark place. I think you only come out every now and then. Very quickly, we did mention about the veterans. We don't forget our women veterans. America, missing arms, legs,
shrapnel. Let's see if she answers the phone.
Oh. You're down.
Hello?
Hello, Miley.
Yes.
This is Philip and Bill. We're calling you.
Holy shit. You're calling
Miley?
Hey, how are you doing?
Listen, you're live in the air right now.
Hi, guys.
That he was calling you. We actually have some friends of ours on the air also. We have got Ben and Chris. They're doing a movie. And a couple of the actors on right now, too. It's a movie about going on in Los Angeles. Miley, I did not know this phone call was going live, but since you initiated it and I wasn't paying attention,
so
why did you call Miley?
Bill and I were kind of chuckling about your bet that you lost and you had to wear a Patriot shirt. Pardon me?
I said, how terrible is that picture? I was caught in a Patriot shirt.
We were kind of curious about the NFL changes the ruling. Team submits visual evidence showing they were perfect. They were inflated perfectly. And Bill and I agreed.
I know you ain't going there right now. I know you ain't going there, Mr. Phil. Remember who's sitting on the sidelines, wasn't it? you guys are treading some dangerous
waters. Hold it, Stacey. Let Miley talk. I hope we don't
have Patriots fans on the phone right now.
No, you guys are
waiting. Do. That's their calling right now.
Yeah, that's us calling right now. We switched over. We're all of a sudden we're Patriot fans.
Okay, just making sure we're not.
Wait a minute. I'm a diehard Patriots fan of over 25 years plus.
Oh, man. So what's your ruling on that football?
And Mr. Phil knows this, so.
No, no. She asked you a question, Stacey. She wanted to know what your ruling on the deflated balls were.
Holy shit.
My personal opinion, or do you want, like, how I see it technically?
It makes you feel good.
Yeah, you're live on the air, so whatever you want to do.
All right, my personal opinion is, what a bunch of fucking haters. I'm sorry. That's just the way I feel, you know. We're going to go PSI to, you know, I can't. But on a technical level, you know, as much as I hate Roger Goodell and I hate everything he stands for, I guess there has to be penalties involved. Why this extreme, I have no clue, because normally the penalty is $25,000 and not a four-game suspension. I don't even remotely believe the whole phone bullshit because it's the NFL. It's not a court of law, although if it's taken to the federal level, that's going to be a little bit different.
That's a strange coincidence.
They only threw that phone shit out there just to friggin' steer shit up.
Justify
because
it.
The biggest leak. The biggest leak. No. The biggest leak in the United States, besides the government, come out of NFL. You know, and that's the realism.
You know,
it's kind of sad
that we live in a society that four Marines and a sailor get killed, and we're worried about deflated footballs.
Yeah,
Thank you.
I agree. I absolutely agree, and you know that. You know, you know how I live and what I believe in and everything else. And it's fine and dandy that football season's approaching and there's a scandal and, you know, we're going to go into a great football season with all kinds of bullshit being thrown around. But, yes, on a final note, you know, 22 vets a day are committing suicide. You know, there's your reality.
We lost
you know?
One today, 82nd Airborne.
Yeah.
I was reading the people that passed too. You know, very quickly, I would like to point out that since I have Miley and Handsome next to me here. Miley and I were going to a party up in our side. The last minute, Miley couldn't make it. Then the last minute, Handsome next to me, he couldn't make it. Then last week, I had a party. I had to go up to Purdue. It was a funeral, and then the clubhouse afterwards. And at the last minute, Miley couldn't make it, and then the last minute, you couldn't make it. You think that's just coincidence?
It's your story, Bill. You tell it anyway. It sounds good.
I just
Bill, you said you were in Purdue. You were in my neck of the woods.
We were up there for Billy Maggot's funeral.
Yeah.
Red and White last week. They came from around the world for that funeral.
I would have been more than happy if we could have a sidecar for the little one.
I shall have to work on that.
I'll go anywhere, anytime.
Are you talking to Handsome or to Bill?
I was talking to Bill.
Oh, okay.
Darling, you guys are both Handsome.
Oh, shit.
Nice save.
I feel neglected, Bill. I feel neglected.
Oh, well. I hope you get a good picture.
Are you a Patriots fan? If you're a Patriots fan, you won't be neglected at all.
Unfortunately, that comes with the territory of being a Raider fan.
But I was going to say, if you can't promise you're a Patriots fan, your balls will get blown up.
Feel free to chime in, Phil and Bill.
All right.
No, I'm not going to touch that one. Wait. Basically, over the years, Miley, you know, when I've sent you the notice about coming on the show or listening to the show, and sometimes you say yes or sometimes you don't have time, but Bill and I took this opportunity when we saw this picture.
No, you took this opportunity. I had no idea what you were doing.
I took the opportunity because I wanted to tell everybody that.
Bill, I gotta go, but I'm gonna chime back in here in a few. I have all this networking to do. It was a pleasure with all of you, and to the Patriot wearing individual.
Not on purpose. It was a lost bet.
She lost a bet. That's why she had to wear it.
Right on, Phil and Bill. Right on.
That's a privilege. Privilege.
I went home early that day, so I wasn't seen in public too much.
Oh, see, that was where you guys went wrong. She had to be public and videoed.
But we go do the movie. Maybe we can bring Miley up with us. That surely will add to the beautiful, beautiful girl.
Because so, right now, 134 people in Russia, or 184 people in Russia just saw Miley standing here in a Patriot shirt.
She wants to know why she calling me Bill and calling me handsome.
As well as those,
if she's
as,
going out
as
with
as
me,
well
why
as
she?
Guys, as well as those guys in Australia and Belgium and Brazil.
Okay.
As long as it's not in San Diego, we're cool. They don't know my name, right?
They do now.
They need a picture.
Send Christopher and I a picture of Miley so we could
spread
the word.
You can check it out on my page.
Okay, you got it, guys. Thank you so much. I got to continue my networking and get off the phone and make this project.
Okay, guys.
Thank you so much for allowing us to be a part of your show.
Absolutely. Oh, no worries. Anytime.
So Miley is still there. You've got a choice to make now. Philip and I are talking about being in this movie shot in Los Angeles. So now you get a chance to ride up with Handsome or Bill.
Can we, guys?
Can we flip a coin? Pick a number.
Oh man! All right. Well, if she calls you handsome, I guess. What? What, girl?
I'm not. You guys got me at a loss for words right now. I have nothing.
Miley,
I'd be more than happy to go anytime. All right, you guys. Well, I just got home. I got to get my child bathed and fed.
All right.
No, we would. Hey,
Phil, what's the name of the movie? Can you tell her the name of the movie?
Heo de las putos.
Miley, poquito español.
Putos.
The name of the movie. The name of the movie in English is called "Son of Bitches." Sons of Bitches.
Okay.
It's just about LA people trying to motorcycle people trying to live in the world and motorcycle stuff. You know, usual stuff.
Yeah. So we asked them straight out if they had a part for two old white guys on Diners, and they said yes, they do.
Well, we definitely do. Yeah.
Perfect.
What about a
mid-30s brunette girl?
Well, we already got you in there, girl. If you're rolling with us,
you're in.
We're talking to Ben and Chris, the director. He said, Bill, Phil, you want to bring this girl in? This girl's good? Unless you're afraid, little girl.
Yeah.
Oh, you can't scare me.
You
guys know that. There's no fear here.
You got to do one thing, though, for me and Bill. You got to get that shirt we gave you that says, or that shirt I gave you that says Repeat Offender, and we'll make a bet, and if you lose, you got to wear that shirt.
You're giving her shirts now?
Yeah.
I didn't know you were giving her shirts.
That was ages ago. Oh, yeah.
I can find that.
Okay.
A move.
All right, we'll go take care of your kid, and we have nothing but love for you. Thanks for taking a little kidding from us, but you're welcome back anytime.
And little girl, when the phone rings,
absolutely,
you never know who's going to be on the other end.
There you go.
I know. It's very rare that I answer numbers I don't recognize. Guys have a good night.
Bill was sitting here fingers, with his fingers crossed, hoping you did answer.
No, I didn't even know you were dialing. I did not know he was dialing you.
I know you were
totally
shocked.
I'm sorry. But we all need to talk to our friends.
Exactly. We'll let you go. We'll talk to you soon.
One of our good friends.
I love you guys. I'll see you and talk to you soon.
All right. Bye-bye.
Thank
bye.
Stacy, you still with us, darling?
Oh, yeah. I know when you guys start talking football stuff, I know when to speak and I know when to mind my business because I get hot-headed on football.
Well, we started the show off. Now, this movie we're talking about briefly, Phil, one more time, could you give us the name in Espanol?
Heos de las Putos.
Sons of Bitches. It's an independent film coming out. They've asked Phil and I to take a role in it. It's mostly about the Mexican biker community in Los Angeles and what they're undergoing and trying to survive. So I'm sure there's going to be some great roles for two Caucasians. I'm sure they got room for us in there somewhere. It'll be interesting. But they say they do, so they want to.
I think the whole idea, the whole concept is pretty cool, and the fact that you extended the invitation down to Tijuana, where you know, you might have a couple of people that don't understand biker culture that need to get that feel, like you were saying, the ambiance, the atmosphere. And I think that would be a real positive, because if they're trying to represent, you know, that type of culture at hand, it's best to get a firsthand experience of what it is indeed like. And, you know, I see nothing but positive stuff coming out of it.
You know, I want to point out very quickly, just there's so many differences between Mexico and America. There's so many differences between the Mexican and the American bike culture, as you said. Now, when I'm talking about American, I'm talking about Mexican-American, too. But the Mexican bike culture, one small difference is when we're down at Rocky Point, Puerto Penasco, about 650 miles from here, it's a good run through the desert. I don't know, 10,000 people, Mexicans, Americans, Europeans are all down there getting crazy. If there's a beef going on, they will wait until like the week after the run and then go at it, you know, fist or knives, whatever situation calls for. But the Mexicans, not Mexican-Americans, the Mexicans ask me, Bill, why do you in America have to fight all the time? If you're at Sturgis, you're at Daytona, why can't you have a good party? And then once the bystanders go home, once the innocent people go home, then why can't you guys have a fight? And I never have an answer for that. Every time we go somewhere, a fight just breaks out between two or more bike clubs. Usually it's the younger bike members want to show off. They get the chest puffed up. But in Mexico, and by the way, I can't speak a word of Mexican, as you guys know that, we're down there so often, they think they need to control it. Okay, they've been insulted. We'll deal with the insult. But we will not get all these innocent people all tied, all wrapped up there. We will not get somebody that rides 1,000 miles to the party, make them go home early because it's all fucked up. So I'm hoping that these LA motorcycle people, and though they are Mexican-American, I'm hoping they're going to get a chance to see what Mexico is like and the Mexican clubs. And it is truly different. I can go on and on why it's different, but you have to come down and live with it. And like I told those bikers from LA, you better be good to me because I'll get you in, and you better hope I get you out. Because anybody can get into Mexico, not everybody can get out. So we'll get everybody out. We've never had any trouble. We've had situations where we've always, and we love Mexico. We wish everybody could go down and experience it. But saying all this here, please do not for one second think that my love for America is weak. No, not a chance in the world. I couldn't live anywhere but in this country, even though we got to deal with crazy cops and helicopters and drones and stuff. That's all right. I'll deal with it. I love Mexico because what we do in Mexico, I'd definitely be arrested for in America. But I could not live down there, not because of the people, because the people are good anywhere. People in Tijuana, no good. People in Los Angeles, no good. People in Rome, no good. People in Paris, no good. Every city has got just people. Just come back a little bit. Meet the Mexican people. 20 miles, 50 miles, a couple hundred miles into Mexico. It's just like in America. You go to small towns and you meet good people. There's wonderful people down there. But Juarez, Tijuana, they get all the publicity because of all the drug cartel going on. It was recorded that every year the city of Los Angeles has more deaths than Mexico does.
That's correct.
And we got Juarez, we got Tijuana, we got cartel killing everybody. Just the city of Los Angeles, the city of the angels, there are more people killed. But we don't get that in the newspapers and all that because they actually try to downplay it. But somebody gets killed in Tijuana, they get the throat cut open, the tongue pulled out, Columbia necktie, it's big spectacular news. He who controls the media controls everything. So while I encourage everybody sometime, come down to Mexico with us and have a good time. Anyway, back to us with that. I did mention the amount of deaths that Philip and I have been incurring. We have boost fires that have died. We have members of the Street Royals recently died. Their president was going, he's also a California forest fire guy, going to the fire on his motorcycle. He got run off the road and on his motorcycle, and he was killed. So even though he belongs to a Metric Motorcycle Club, Philip and I and many of the other Metric Bike Clubs and all the Harley Clubs, we're going to meet this Sunday at the American Legion Post in 1234 South Santa Fe Drive, Vista, California. We're going to meet for about 3 or 4 hours and all hug each other and remind ourselves that the chain, is one link shorter. The fact that you choose to ride a Metric or an English motorcycle, that doesn't matter. You have the same potholes I have to fight. You have the same cops I have to fight. It's just, we take opportunities like this to remind ourselves, whatever reason, as my Irish grandmother would say, God's not done with us yet. So while I am more spiritual than religious, any time a motorcycle rider is dead, and any time a club president is dead, this guy gives a lot. We need to take time to acknowledge that. So anybody that tells us or calls us up and tells us about motorcycle clubs that lost somebody and they wish to let everybody know, please contact Phil, send some information, authorize us to say it, and we will identify the motorcycle club. We'll identify the man's name. We'll identify the memorial, the mortuary, the cemetery, whatever you feel comfortable with. But please have a member of that club contact us. Don't just send information and say, hey, Club ABC, they died and all that. I may not have information, or they may not want it public. Anybody in a motorcycle organization. And as I said twice earlier, don't put Phil and I into a corner. Oh, they only do this. They only acknowledge that. Phil and I are extremely mobile. I'm on the road all the time. We have friends in the biker community everywhere. So enough of that. Anybody else listen to us and would like to tell us what's going on in your neighborhood, please let us know.
What's going on out there, Stacy?
Well, this weekend is the Madeira Feast, which is the big Portuguese feast in New Bedford, Massachusetts. It already started tonight with Candlebox is going to be doing the opening performance. There's live performances every night from Thursday through Sunday. It's the Feast of the Blessing of the Wine, which goes in the churches, the Madeira grape. It's basically food, wine, dancing in the streets. It's been going on for about 100 years. People come from all over the world to this one feast. They come in from Canada. They come in from Portugal, the Azores, because it's an extremely big Portuguese feast. But I enjoy it. It's just the atmosphere. Everybody has a celebratory type of spirit going on. There's usually no foul, no harm, no baloney, you know. But it's a good time. It really is. So that's
Stacy,
what I'm doing.
Phil and I are both Catholics, although I think both of us acknowledge over the course of years we've become more spiritual than we are religious. Is this the feast of a saint? Is this a Catholic celebration? I'm sorry, I didn't get the whole part of that story. Can you share that with me?
Yep. It's a predominantly Catholic celebration, but everybody goes to it because of the size of it. Actually, the size is so big that Budweiser itself sponsors this event. That's how many people come to this. And it's a free event. You can walk the fairgrounds, mingle, whatever, for nothing. It's, you know, if you buy food, then you got to pay for it, et cetera. The blessing of the wine that they pour in the chalice in the church, it comes from the Madeira grape, I believe it is. And when all the barrels come in, they do this big type of mass with a big parade, and they bless all the barrels, and then it's distributed. But they also have it at the feast on tap at room temperature. So everybody who's drinking it is quite giggly. But,
you know, let me ask you, is this a, I don't want to be racist, but is this more like a feast of Italian origin?
Not now, no, and it's always been a Portuguese feast because New Bedford was predominantly of Portuguese descent because Bedford has a big fishing industry, the harbor's right there. Through cultural changes over the years, it's still predominantly a Portuguese feast, but you have all different cultures coming together under this one, you know, big outdoor event. And I don't know if it's because it has a spiritual undertone to it that everybody, as much as, you know, there are some people hardcore drinking, it always goes over good. Everybody's just predominantly in a good mood. So, you know,
we have a large Portuguese neighborhood that's down the Point Loma area, and I've made quite a few of the Portuguese events, and they do get lit up. They do get lit up and have a good time.
Yeah, I mean, some of the people, when I was living in Fall River is another city that's predominantly Portuguese descent. Now it's a little bit more cultural, but when I was growing up, it was mostly all Portuguese people. And they've always been good, hardworking, you know, go to church type of people. And then on Sunday, you go to a big dinner at their home where the whole family comes, and your grandfather's popping open the garage door and he's got like four barrels making wine. You know, I mean, they're all old school people. They grow their own grapes. They make their own wine. You know, the only place you can really get rabbit, if you indulge in rabbit, is through these Portuguese people who are pretty much the only ones left that raise rabbit to eat. So it's a lot of old school heritage and old school traditions coming together with newer people, I guess, to, it's not even predominantly the Catholic religion. It's just, I think at this point, a big spiritual undertone. You know, that's what I pick up when I go there versus when I was
And not all Portuguese are Catholics. I mean, they have different like that, but it is a Portuguese theme, or it came from the Portuguese era, or their contributions to America. I had totally was blank dead. But then when he said Portuguese, it all came back again with that. So it's a Portuguese origin, but everybody's welcome there. Okay.
Right, exactly. And like I said, they've never been a rowdy group of people because their big feasts, or so to say, are predominantly around the church. Their biggest cultural events revolve around the Catholic religion. So when they do these type of big events, it doesn't have any type of angry undertones to it. It's just everybody's courteous. You're courteous to the drunk slobbering all over himself. You let the 90-year-old woman go before you. You know, it's just everybody that goes predominantly has good behavior on point.
You know, when I was over in Spain, I had a chance. I was running out of time and money. I could have turned right and gone over to Portugal because I wanted to go see the Bernadette Lourdes. I wanted to see that. I thought that would be beautiful. But the last second, I took a ferry, and I went into North Africa. It was crazy. Actually, when I was over there in North Africa, I talked to the people right away. I said, the terrorists, who are they kidnapping this season? They said, oh, we're kidnapping French people. I said, what about the Americans? Oh, no, not this season. And at that time, my hair was very, very, very long, really long white hair. They kept walking up and grabbing my hair and touching it and saying, Ali Baba. So I asked these Africans, what does Ali Baba mean? He said, oh, many meanings, teacher, reverend one, holy one. I said, well, why is everybody touching my long white hair? It's good karma to touch your hair. So I said, now let me get this straight. You're only kidnapping and holding for ransom at this time French people. He said, yes. And everybody wants to go up and touch my long white hair and call me Ali Baba. He said, yes. Now, once I got that locked in, I went to Morocco. I went to the Casbah. I went to any camps. I went to any place I could find. If all you want to do is touch my hair, hey, rock and roll. I went all
That's
over North
great.
Africa. And the sad thing was they were actually stopping tour buses, which I would never get on anyway, but stopping tour buses and pulling French people off that one season I was over there, holding them for ransom. But for whatever reason, when the fine Irish Catholic boy was over there with the white hair, nah, come on, you have a good time.
That's great.
We got pictures of me somewhere. I'm riding a camel racing through the desert. And you remember that movie Lawrence of Arabia? I'm on the camel yelling, Ora! Ora!
Yeah.
The hell's wrong with that white boy? important about camel racing, by the way. I want to share this with everybody. Not that you women need to hear this, but for you men, though. When the camel comes to a stop, he goes down on his two front legs, his knees, or I guess his elbows, if you would, wherever the hell it is, that comes down on the ground hard. Now, if you're sitting in the saddle and you're a man, these camels have two humps. Well, your man package gets pretty much racked up pretty hard on that. I made sure that about the camels, I always gave a little space. So when that camel went down hard so I can get off, I didn't smash my nuts. But that's another story. No idea why I got off on that one.
Oh, my God.
But strange. Oh, very quickly, I was taking the ferry back to Spain, and I was walking down the little ramp to get on the ferry, and this is an absolute true story. I'm full of stupid stuff I had to buy in Africa, you know, junk stuff. But walking down the corridor, a very small corridor, there was a man in front of me dressed in a beautiful suit, a short hair, clean cut, a real money guy, and had a little attaché case. Along the little corridor where I did not see a door slid open. Two armed guards came out, jumped on this man with the suitcase, dragged him in, and then shut the door again. And I'm still standing there with all these souvenirs thinking, oh, man, this is Africa. These boys ain't playing around. But they probably figured, well, let's look at this guy with the long white hair. He's such a suspect drug dealer. He can't be the one. Now let's get this guy with the short hair. You know what? That's the drug dealer. So they arrested him, and I never found out what happened to him. So a little interesting story about my trip to Africa.
Wow. Well, when you guys set sail to Tijuana, I'll be touching back down in Boston at Logan International, coming home from the UK.
What are you going to do in the UK?
I am going to sit my white Irish rear end on some beautiful pink sand. I'm going to travel 2 hours, let me see, that'll be 2 hours southeast, and I'm going down to Bermuda.
Okay, from the airport, it's 45 minutes to London, so you're going to go south now? You're going away from London, you're going south. Is that correct?
Going to Bermuda.
Oh, you're leaving London altogether. Oh, because I don't know any damn place that's nice, warm sand in London. Every time I'm over there, it's just cold, wet, and...
That's because they know you're coming.
Oh, let me share this with you, fine Irish lady you are. First time I went to London, I took the train to Victoria Station. Victoria Station, I rented a room. I don't know where the hell I am. Well, I ended up being two blocks from 10 Downing Street. Actually, three blocks. Two blocks down, one block to the right, 10 Downing Street, where the Prime Minister of England lives. So I hear that, and I feel, well, hell... Maybe I'll go bang on the guy's door. You know, what do I know? I take about two steps outside my little apartment, and a car bomb goes off. The Irish Republic Army lit a car bomb on his front door. I was three blocks away, so I felt a little impact, a little shaking, but I wasn't hurt at all. Second time I go to England, there's this big, giant store over there. It's one of the most famous stores in England. So I'm going to go see it. What the hell? I'm about four blocks away, and the Irish Republican Army lets another bomb off, this inside the store. Blew the whole second story out. I felt a little blast, but I wasn't hurt at all. Now, the third time I'm in England, that's why I know they're checking my ass out. I went to, of course, Wales, over to Ireland, then back to Victoria Station. I'll catch a train to the airport. I think I went through Gatwick. As soon as I left Victoria Station, 45 minutes away, I was in Gatwick. The Irish Republican Army dropped a bomb off inside Victoria Station. 20 killed, 200 wounded. I missed that by 45 minutes. So I'm pretty sure the English government's got my passport saying, every time that white Irish kid from California comes over, they bomb the shit. So I don't know. Don't know why I want to share that with you.
Well, this will be the second time I've gone to Bermuda because I was planning a road trip, but due to health factors, that's a no-go at this time. So the shortest flight that keeps it within a two-hour time slot, because that's the amount of time I'm allowed to travel at the moment, is a flight to see my friend in Bermuda. So that's what I'm doing.
You have to get off of London?
No, I'm not going to London at all. I'm leaving from Boston to Bermuda. And then when you guys leave for Tijuana on the 30th, I'll be coming back to Boston.
Okay. Philip, what is the 30th? Is that Saturday? Hang on one second, darling.
Friday.
Okay, Friday, yeah. No, next month.
Next month, yeah.
Right.
Sunday.
So we're going on the...
we're going down...
We're going 29th.
Yeah, we're going on the
29th. I'm gonna do you guys a favor. There's a famous restaurant down there called the Swizzle Inn, because everybody drinks this drink called the Rum Swizzle. I thought it was terrible, but that's my personal opinion. Inside the restaurant is thousands and thousands of signatures. Anybody that comes in can sign it. If you guys want, I'll put the Phil and Bill show up there with the
phone
number.
She's going to sign her, on her credit card bill, she's going to sign your name. I think she said that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Is that what you said, darling?
No. On the walls of this restaurant, there are signatures. My name is already on there. I wrote my nickname, and underneath I wrote Tom Brady, number 12. But if
that'd
you want...
That'd be nice. Thank you.
Very good.
Philip and I do not go to islands because they're islands. We need,
but you don't know what... You don't know what you're missing. Oh, my God. It's like... I couldn't live there. That I will tell you. I couldn't live there because it's small. You have a limited amount of space. But to just break away from the normal... You know, there's a site I seen when I went down there 2 years ago. We were at a beach at night. And it's called Horseshoe Bay, and it's the biggest pink sand beach on the island. And we went out on the beach. It was around 1 o'clock in the morning. And that's when I realized, I was sitting on the sand, how very small I was in this world. Because being on an island, there's no great big city lights. There's nothing to obstruct your view. And I saw the most stars I've ever seen in my lifetime. There ain't a picture that could capture that moment. And like shooting stars coming out of everywhere. And I just sat there in awe, and I looked up at this great big universe, and it was like I was having an epiphany, because it was almost overwhelming, because you don't get those type of views when, you know, you live in a city type of area. And, you know, just for like a 7-day adventure, it's so worth it. You know, I mean, there's so many different experiences on the island. They've got coral reefs, they've got, you know, stalactites and stalagmites, those things that come down from the caves. The hospitality on the island is off the hook. Many different cultural backgrounds. It's extremely expensive, you know, but I stay with my friend. So, you know, that's a totally different thing. But I, like, extended the invitation to Phil. I said, if you want to fly in for the weekend, we'd be more than happy to, you know, accommodate him around the island. That's for sure. And if he wanted to bring you, you could come too. But, having a friend that lives there.
The invitation for Handsome only, huh?
A what? Say that again?
I guess the invitation was just for Handsome, huh? Initially.
Oh, no, you're the handsome one. I've always said that. Bill's the one with the looks. Bill, he just tries to, you know, look good in your limelight, Bill. That's, you know, that's always
a
good one.
Phil is a Chicago thuggy, I'm telling you right now, boys and girls. You can take Phil, you can't take Chicago out of Phil. I've said that so many times.
Well, that's kind of like, I guess that would per se for me. You can take the Boston away from me, but you'll never take the Boston out of me, you know?
That's true.
Because we all, you know, technically, you come from Boston, and, you know, now you're in San Diego. Phil comes from Chicago. He's in San Diego. I'm still on the East Coast. Now, you just combine those three types of personalities, and wow, that could be an interesting evening, you know?
You know, I've traveled around the world. I've incorporated so many different personalities and influences and all that. When I was back in Boston, this is where I was born and raised. I felt that even though I'm from Boston, I have changed so much. Not that I've changed better, not that I think I'm better than any of my South Boston friends. I just changed. Too much of world influences, which isn't a bad thing at all. Not a
Absolutely.
Bad thing at all. Phil's still Chicago thuggy, I'm telling you right now. Yeah. We go anywhere. Look at him. He never smiles. He's always ready to hit somebody.
Oh,
he
smiles. It happens.
Oh, I never,
on occasion.
Maybe behind my back, but I'm not looking. I don't know, John.
Well, Bill, you know, not to change the subject.
But you're
going to
change the subject.
Yeah, I'm going
to
change the subject. They just came out with a bill now.
Uh-huh.
It's loading up right now. But it's going to let the vets use their GI Bill to start a small business.
Wow.
Really? It didn't help my ass. Nobody helped me do anything, but it's not about me. It's those vets that want to try and do something. I acknowledge that. I hope they're going to be equally opportunity to men and women vets.
See, a bill to allow post 9/11 vets to use their GI Bill benefits as collateral for business startups passed an important milestone in the Senate Wednesday with growing bipartisan support in the Congress and backing of major veterans organizations. It's called the Veterans Entrepreneurial Transition Act and it's sponsored by Jerry Moran of Kansas,
Republican,
Manchester, Montana,
Democrat.
After serving our nation, many veterans want to continue to service by giving back to their communities as small business owners and entrepreneurs. It's common sense to give them more flexibility and choice in their benefits to achieve their goals.
Hmm.
About time they did something.
Well, you know, let me stop there for a minute. They said post 9/11 vets.
Mm-hmm.
So those of us during the before that, that's a no-fly for us?
Well, the post 9/11 GI Bill signed into law in July 2008 has often been compared to the World War II GI Bill.
Yeah.
The Readjustment Act of 1944, although the current bill provides a more limited range of benefits.
So it is if you're going to be a post 9/11 vet.
Right.
Okay. That's great. What if I want to start a business at my age? What if I want to start a business? They tell me they don't care. Well, that's okay. You know what? There you go. Take that. But to all those young vets that are thinking about doing something, this is a great opportunity. You don't get a free shot like this. Take it. Run with it. What's the worst thing you can do? Go bankrupt and say, I gave it a shot. What's the best thing you can do? You make a living for you and your family. To all you vets there thinking, well, maybe I should try something. You know, a little history. I spent 6 years counting drugs, alcohol.
Well, you know, Bill, I also got a list. Please remind these people during primaries how you feel about their vote. But this is the list of the U.S. senators who voted to cut the pensions of our military veterans.
That's more like me. Cut my pensions. Well, I had a pretty secure job, and I took a chance. My brothers and I opened a motorcycle shop, and we've been very fortunate. 37 years later, we're still rock and roll with Harley Davidson. But everybody that told me, don't do that. Don't do that. Stick with
your
job.
Make more money selling drugs.
Everybody told me, don't. I busted my ass, but I had a dream. Kennedy's Custom Cycles. My brothers and I, we had a dream together. We're fortunate. But you got to try it. Not everybody's going to win. Not everybody's going to be successful.
No. Nope.
But if you don't, it's like, what's that play in the lotto? If you don't spend a dollar,
yep.
You'll never know.
Yep.
So all you post 9/11 vets, I'm teasing you because I can't get any of that money, but take that opportunity, you young men and women. Let's not forget the young men and women because
That's
we want
correct.
The women to take an opportunity. Oh, well. Especially the women who have got so much to offer with their different assets. And certainly, if you say, well, women can't be business, why not? They can do an account sheet. They can do anything as well as we can. In fact, I'm a rotten businessman. Everybody knows that. I'm a PR man. That's all I do. I'm lucky enough I have a brother that's a financial guru.
Hey, my daughter, because she was in civil affairs with the Army, she started out, you know, after the Army was done, she started out at almost a management level just because of having that civil affairs part under her belt because her job was to communicate and to talk to people and to have a level head. And
yeah.
It benefited her.
God bless her on that, yeah. We have, I don't know why women, even though I hear women say, oh, we're proud, we're doing this. Women still aren't stepping up and taking the big challenge. Maybe we men are doing it because we're dumb. But I think women are a bit more conservative, maybe financially, fiscal, conservative. And I'm sure women out there say, well, you know what? You don't know shit. Well, maybe I don't. I just seem to know that more men are out there trying things. And you women, if you're at post 9/11, if you're given an opportunity, ladies, jump on it. Maybe the chance of a lifetime to take care of you, your immediate family, your cousins, your uncles, your friends. Give everybody opportunity for work. Nobody ever gave you a nickel, did they, Phil?
Nope.
Nobody offered you anything.
Nope.
You have, to my knowledge, you have no relative that ever said to you, hey, come and work in my company. No. Phil and I are not complaining, but every nickel we've ever made, Phil and I have had to work 7 days a week at times. I wish other people would not have to do quite as hard as we did. No complaints, folks. Just sharing a piece of my life with you.
Why? I mean, I can understand not driving your knuckles to the grindstone, but you know what? You're built from the same mold my father was, my grandfather was, my uncles, and that's something to be proud of. Honestly, it's like when I hear a man or a woman talk that's got as many years as, you know, Phil with his job, my father worked for the same company, did the same thing that Phil's doing. You with your bike shop, that's you know, you look at a person in a totally different light, because if you understand anything about business or have any little bit of education under your belt, you know that trying to have longevity with the job, as Phil does, and a longevity with the business, as you do, Bill, you know, to start off, the odds, they shoot against you. But the fact that you guys are where you are at so many years later, you know, people should look at you as role models. I do. You know, I can't speak on behalf of everybody that listens to this show or calls in faithfully, but I do. And, you know, every time I've either engaged in conversation about the radio show or something that was going on, and, you know, they ask about, you know, your backgrounds, whatever, you know, who are these people, blah, blah, blah. And I always say two hardworking former military people. You know, that's the first things that come out of my mouth. And I'm going to assume that anybody who knows you out in California, which is just about everybody, I would assume that they probably look at you the same way. You know, the two of you, every individual should strive to be like. And that's the way I look at it. You know, unfortunately, we have a society geared in a different direction, and nobody understands the value of longevity and hard work.
Well, Philip and I are where we are today because, again, there was no plan B. Neither Philip nor I had a single relative that said, let us help you get started, come into our business. If Philip and I didn't take our life by the bootstraps, we'd have no one to blame but ourselves. But we both had families, so we both realized that we had to put our own petty jealousy or petty, I don't want to say jealousy, or laziness or whatever. We had to put that aside and provide for our families. And luckily for Phil and I, again, not having any family safety net, that's the word I want, not having a safety net at all, you've got to go out and do it on your own. You've got to try it. Philip and I have been very lucky. We're very successful. I'm not denying that. Yeah, we had nothing else. I didn't meet Philip too much later, but since I've known Philip, he works like a crazy man for his family still.
That's
people say, oh,
key word.
Bob, you can't do this. I have a hard time. I think a man has to take care of his family before he takes care of himself. I believe that firmly. I think a man's got to step up and take care. He wants it better for his children than he wanted for himself. I want my daughter to be happy. I want my daughter and my grandchildren to be happy. I want them to make something of themselves separate than what I made for myself. But again, I never had anybody gave me a nickel. I never had a relative die and leave me anything. It's not that I complain about shit. I'm saying that this, I really believe, is what helped motivate me into saying, okay, I'm going to go out and I'm going to make something out of myself. Now,
and
in the beginning,
and you know what?
What do
you know? What the greatest fact is? the two of you, with all you've endured over the years, everything you've been through, good times, bad times, sad times, angry times, you don't utter a complaint.
No.
Not a complaint. You talk about things that need to be changed, et cetera, but you're not out there pissing and moaning about every hardship that comes your way. You just tackle it head on and you do what needs to be done. And, I mean, I can say that on some level because, you know, I know you guys a little bit differently than maybe everybody that listens to the radio show. But that I know is a fact. And, you know, the two of yous are just, you guys are amazing men. And, you know, you may not realize it now. You may realize it 10 years from now. But, like, the things you've done and the ground you guys have paved, you're to be looked up at, honestly. And, you know, it's like any man that ever questioned anything that dealt with men's stuff could go to either one of yous, and you're just going to be, you know, blatantly honest, whether you give them a life story or an event that happened that correlates or just guy stuff in general. I don't know. It's like you guys are awesome, you know, and I don't know how else to put that, but that's the way I feel.
Well, you know, when Philip and I go down to the police station because there's a problem in the area, we're not trying to get the cop fired. We want the officer to identify to us and via the watch commander and or the police chief, why is this policy going on in our town? Again, Philip and I ride our bikes up respectfully. We go in there. We have meetings. You can't just ignore something if it's wrong. You can't expect somebody else to do it. Everybody has got to step up to the plate and say, I'm going to try to make my community a little bit better. First time Phil and I started going to police stations, holy shit, you got the whole town crazy. I saw Bill and Phil's bike outside the cop shop. They've been arrested. No, no.
Yeah.
When there's a problem with your telephone bill, you speak to a supervisor, right? Now, we have gas electric out here. When there's a problem with the gas electric, go see a supervisor. When there's a problem with that rogue cop, do we go see a supervisor? That's how we handle our problem over here. Everybody out there, listen to me. That's how you can handle your problems in there. Do not be afraid of the police for 1 second. When you go to the police station, they will vastly outnumber you. Philip and I, we never get the conference room. They always stuck us in interrogation room. That's all right. All that is to try to scare us. No matter how many policemen in the room, if you go into a police station and you think you're right, you probably are right. Now stick to your guns. Don't be saying F this and F that. That weakens your case. Identify yourself. Don't lose your temper. That weakens your case. Everybody can make their town better. Do not be afraid of the police. Don't forget, in theory, they're taxpayers. Our money pays the police department, right? They work for us in a very broad sense.
Mm-hmm.
But people won't go in there because there's so many policemen in the station. They all carry guns. Okay, I got to explain this to you. What's the worst thing that can happen? They can shoot Phil and I. That ain't going to happen. That's the worst scenario. Now, the best scenario is we're going to sit down. We're eventually going to find some officer who's going to say, well, we can discuss this and we can modify, change, or we can replace this. That's all we're trying to do. But I don't see women coming down to the police station, women motorcycle riders. Ladies, if anything, you probably have an easier deal with it than Phil and I do. There's always a lot of, whenever guys get together, it's always a matter of who's got the biggest.
Whatever.
So anyway, women, I think, would be treated better, and I would like to see women riders get more active in the motorcycle world, especially going in the police station and discussing that with them. Hell, if you want, go from police, what do you call that, ride-alongs. What the hell, why not? It's your motorcycle, excuse me, it's your police department, it's your community. I would love to see more female leaders in our community. Anyway, okay, I'm going to stop that subject. Mm-hmm. we have got an awful lot of stuff to do, these most like events coming up next couple of weeks. Are you in town during Mexico? You gotta work out? Okay.
No, I'll be
there. Okay. Freedom Dough checking that, because poor Phil, he's spirit working his ass off at his advanced age. If you look at Phil and Bill, I'm going to tell you right now, he is older than I am. And I'm going to tell you, he works 6-7 days a time so his family will have the money. And look what it's done to the poor guy.
You know, on that note, Bill.
Yes, Phil.
I think.
Yep.
It's time to say goodbye.
Yeah, we're going to call it a night.
To each and all my friends. M-I-C. See you soon.
No.
K-E-Y. Why? Because we love you. M-O-U-S-E.
Nah, I think we're going to get
you never join me for my sing-alongs,
because
ever.
Because I think we're gonna let Everlast do a little what it's like.
Well, they do okay, but I think my Mickey Mouse
is better. We'll take it out on that note.
Don't forget, sometimes sing Roy Rogers.
All right, good night, everybody.
Good night.